welcome the listeners back to the next episode, day two of Hey Days. So returning guests, we got Jake, and then new guests, we got Warren. You guys want to give a little intro to who you are?
Go for it.
Yep. My name is Warren Gage. I'm just backcountry freestyle rider from Alaska. Do a lot of tree riding and mountain riding up there, and freestyle on the side, kind of to help progress my backcountry freestyle and try to keep the sport moving forward in that aspect. So
yeah, hell yeah. Jake?
Very nice. And I'm Jake Hoschild. I work at the Albany Lodge, direct that, and been working there for 4 years. So
hell yeah, glad to have you back on the pod, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, heck yeah. So Warren, where at in Alaska are you from? I know we were just talking off camera, but for the listeners.
Yeah, I'm over from Kenai, Alaska, which is like 2 hours south of Anchorage. And I do most of my riding right there in the Kenai Peninsula in the Chugach Forest and the mountains. It's usually about a 2 hour drive to wherever I want to go riding at.
Okay.
In the whole peninsula. And we got quite a few zones there, so
yeah.
Whenever snow's bad in one spot, just hop over to the next and
the snow's bad in Alaska, that's a thing?
It can get bad. Our storms are really weird. Each zone pretty much makes its own storm pattern.
Yeah, sure.
And so
okay.
It's never consistent. So it might snow 3 or 4 feet in one zone 1 week, and then it won't snow there for maybe 2 weeks, and we'll go to the other zone and they just got a fresh reset. So
yeah,
it all depends. So pretty much just chasing snow all winter.
Yeah, nice. So and forgive me for my lack of knowledge, but do you run the 907 films?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's go into that a little bit. What does that all entail?
907 Films is just something I started, I think, 2 seasons ago. And okay. I just wanted to kind of capture what we do in Alaska. And my goal is to get it to where we capture backcountry riding, capture the freestyle aspect of it, springtime riding. I want to move into capturing hunting as well. I do a lot of hunting up there, and so just kind of showcasing what we do in Alaska and what I do and what all my buddies do. I think we live a pretty great life up there. We got a lot of opportunities to go do everything. So
yeah,
anything from riding sleds in the winter to enjoying hot, sunny lake days in the summer. So
yeah, absolutely. Dude, Alaska's a beautiful place.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Can't beat it. I've been like this early summer, I went on vacation over to Greece.
Okay.
And was over there with my girlfriend for 2 weeks, and it was awesome. It was great going over there.
Sure.
But after like the first week, I was like,
yeah,
still doesn't beat Alaska. Yeah. You can't beat it.
Yeah, no, impossible. So obviously you have like your whole riding group, and you know, Nick Pono was on the podcast previously, and he said he does quite a bit of stuff with you guys. Is there any other, like, I don't know if competitors is the right word, right? But so from what I follow from you guys, like, it's you guys kind of have just your own clique, and I don't really see too many other people outside of you guys ripping in Alaska that are pushing something like 907 Films. Like, do you have other groups of people that are trying to do the same thing around you, or?
Not really up there. It's pretty much everything's kind of died down up there. Over the years, like back in the day, we had Turnigan Hardcore, and we had Two-Stroke Cold Smoke, and all those guys from back in the day that used to push it and promote everything up there.
Yeah.
And I think we had probably, I'd say probably a 10-year die-off. And
okay.
With us coming back in, we're kind of kick-starting it. We got a couple boys up in like the Fairbanks area that's trying to start something similar to what we got. And I don't really see any of it as like a competitor deal or like competition.
Yeah.
It's more like the way I look at it is I'm trying to help push it and progress the sport and get the sport to keep moving forward from where it's at, and getting to see up and coming riders that are 5, 6, 7 years younger than us that are wanting to do the same thing. It's really awesome.
Heck yeah. Yeah, it helps push the sport overall.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, and since there's, I mean, like you had said, it died off and there's really not a huge group anyways. Yeah. The more the better then. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because the riding didn't die off. It was just so much like people weren't pushing it anymore. It was just like the riding was still there. Everyone was still going out on the weekends, having fun, going riding, but no one was pushing the filming and backcountry freestyle, or wasn't really pushing the limits anymore.
Yeah.
Like, because we had that we had that span in early 2000s to where, like, all the big dogs, Brett Turcotte, Corey Davis, and Paul Thacker, and all those boys over there in Alaska, they were pushing it hard for a while in Alaska and really making a lot of progression.
Yeah.
And they're just, I don't know why, but it just felt like there wasn't a generation. There's kind of like a missed gap, a generation that wasn't there, that wasn't into the sledding. And they were into it to go have fun and ride here and there, but they weren't pushing the sport anymore. And so that's kind of where me and Nick and a couple other buddies come
making
in.
Making up for it.
We're trying to make up for it and bring that next level back.
Yeah. Heck yeah. No, it's awesome what you guys are doing. You have any questions, Jake?
I was just kind of wondering, like, is there something specific or, like, a specific person that, like, kind of, like, influenced you to, like, do that, like, get into snowmobiling really hard, or?
Probably not so much a specific person, but more or less just growing up, I'd always watch, like, Slednex and Turnigan Hardcore, and started watching those a lot and watching the X Games, and all from the beginning, that's all I wanted to do. After watching those guys and seeing what they were doing, I was just super pumped, super stoked. That's all I wanted to do was go out, be a pro rider, and push the sport to the next level. And
hell yeah.
To me, it's just, that's the dream.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Ultimate.
Ultimately, it's the dream. So whatever I can do to help push it myself and then help other people to want to push it, that makes up for it a lot. Like, I got buddies, like my buddy Blake Pfeiffer, he's with me down here with Tubi, and he's the same way. He's wanting to progress the sport too, and so I'm doing whatever I can to help push him. And if I can bring riders in and teach them and help, like, give them the motivation to push backcountry, and my biggest thing is trying to push backcountry freestyle, because that to me is a dying breed in itself.
There's and it's one of the most entertaining to watch too.
Exactly. It's one of the most entertaining things to see, and it's I love doing it. I love watching other people do it, but no one's doing it anymore. So it's trying to bring riders back into doing that. It's hard because there's a big risk involved.
Like,
it's not easy, and one mess up, it could ultimately end your career. So
right.
It scares a lot of people, and sometimes what happens is they'll come into hitting a jump and they won't have necessarily, like, the skill set ready for that specific jump. They might get crossed up and wad on the landing. They'll walk away fine, but after doing that, having that crash, it scares them.
And
because even off a little jump, you can get pretty wadded up off a little jump. And so that kind of scares them. Then they see us doing the big jumps. They're just like, no, there's no way.
Sure. But so, and off of that, you probably obviously had to start on the small jumps too, to then progress to where you're at now, right?
Oh yeah.
And so it's something that's interesting, especially from social media, right? Like, you can watch a video of you doing some gnarly thing off of a huge jump. And I think it's interesting the fact of, people just think that that's not necessarily easy, but they don't see, or maybe you weren't filming, like, maybe you were, like, all the small jumps and all the mistakes and all the mess ups to get to that point.
So
people can just see you rip one huge thing and then get, you know, bummed that they can't do something like that. And that's kind of social media as a whole, right? You always see everybody's successes and not the failures or the steps that it took to get there. Which is an interesting aspect. But, and then off of that, you had mentioned other people getting hurt or whatnot, and then that turning them away. Do you have some crash stories that you learned from and overcame? And if you did, like, how did you work through that process? Like, what kept you going and motivated to shake it off and hit the next one?
I've had a few crashes that have definitely scared me. And my biggest thing is, like, I look at it after I have, like, a somewhat gnarly crash, I look at it as, just look back and see where I started from and where my riding really started from, and how I was just a normal weekend warrior just going out playing for fun to where I'm at now. It's not something that I'm willing to give up. So I just try to keep myself extremely motivated and look back at where I came from and see how far I progressed, and motivate myself to keep pushing forward. And this last winter, early season, I'm sure you guys saw the video, I had a massive step down jump super early season and I crashed.
Yeah.
And that was a very big jump. And it's that jump, I'm not gonna lie, after I hit that jump and crashed, I walked away fine. I had whiplash for about a week.
Yeah.
But after that jump, it literally scared me. Like it put me in a bad mindset. My tail tucked between my legs.
Yeah, yeah.
I still had a pretty good season overall, but after that jump, it really opened my eyes to, wow, I got really lucky.
Sure.
I was able to stand, literally right after I crashed, I stood up, put my arms in the air, letting everyone know I was okay, and I looked around, and I was in awe.
Yeah.
My helmet was destroyed, and wow, things could have went very, very badly.
Sure.
Because, like, two winters ago, I had a really big tabletop jump that I did on my race sled, and we actually brought a tape out there, and we pulled the tape, and it was 205 feet. And in the video, there was 4 seconds of airtime. On that step down,
yeah,
we didn't have a tape with us, because usually we save the tape and big jumps for, like, later spring season.
Yeah.
In that video, I had 4 seconds of airtime.
That's wild.
That's a long time to be in the air.
Good Lord.
So being able to walk away from that was huge. I'm glad I wasn't hurt and I was able to walk away with little to no injuries.
Yeah.
To me and my sled.
Yeah.
But it ultimately scared me and it did put me in a bad mindset. Like after that, I wanted to go jump. I wanted to go flip and do huge stuff. But whenever it came down to it, tail tucked between my legs and I just kind of cowered down for a little while, and it gave me the opportunity to progress my tree riding a bunch and help grow that aspect of my riding, which is something like I got jumping and flipping dialed, whereas tree riding I wasn't as dialed, but now it's nice because I had that opportunity to progress that. So it put me in a bad mindset, but at the same time I was still able to progress one aspect of my riding.
Yep, different skill set.
And so but I did a lot of thinking about it this summer and trying to get myself back in the right mindset. And I'm really stoked to see what this winter has to offer. I'm back in the groove.
Yep.
Doing the freestyle show here made me a lot more confident and motivated. So I am really looking forward to see what this winter produces.
Heck yeah. Do you have your sights set on a specific trick?
I got a few tricks I want to try to do. Can't name them yet because they may or may not have been done, so it's kind of we'll just see what happens.
Gotcha. But you do have your sights set on something.
I think I have at least three or four tricks that I would really like to be able to accomplish as a goal this year that, to my understanding, have not been done before in the backcountry. So I'm not going to promote it too much just in case it doesn't happen. Ultimately, my goal is to throw down some seriously gnarly stuff in the backcountry this year.
Awesome.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Jake, you got any?
I mean, how do you mentally prepare for that stuff, though? Like, even after an accident, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, I'm sure the listeners, they get, it's a big intimidation thing of hitting a jump. Like, what would you say is, like, the best thing to do before you, you know, hit a jump? Or, like, how do you mentally prepare yourself to just do it?
A lot of it comes from, like, years of experience, and so like he was saying, I never started doing big jumps. Like, we all started doing small jumps, and I really took my time with it. I was lucky and was able to go out and do a lot of ride days in the season. Didn't get the chance to count them this year, probably gonna try to count my ride days, but I was able to go out like continuously and hit small jumps and work my way up. And I always tell everybody, it's like, you don't have to go big. Like, start small, do baby steps, get comfortable. And the biggest thing that I try to recommend people is get to the point where when you come off a jump, because snow changes, like the jump changes every hit. Get to the point where you can confidently charge into a jump, hit the jump, and immediately right off the lip, know how to change what's going on with the sled, know how to counteract. Maybe there's more pressure on your right ski and it causes sled to tip a little bit in the air. Knowing how to be able to immediately counteract that right off the lip is huge. And that'll help bring that confidence ups where once you get to the bigger jumps, you already know how to straighten out the sled immediately.
Sure.
Because when you start hitting really big jumps, if you have too much pressure on one side or one side pops a little harder than the other, you got a lot of air time for the sled to tip and go like out of straight. It's yeah. where you're flying sideways. So being able to learn how to counter that immediately off the lip is huge. And a lot of that for me comes from motocross.
Sure.
I used to do a lot of motocross racing up there for the Alaska series, and always grew up on dirt bikes too. And so riding ruts and learning how to, same thing, immediately counter what's going on off the lip is huge.
Yeah.
And so it just basically just take your time, go step by step, and just don't overwork yourself. Get to the points where you're comfortable and slowly move up. There's going to be times where you're going to have to go out of your comfort zone
right.
for a bigger hit that you're going to look at, and it's going to be like, you're going to be like, I am not too sure about that one. But it also helps having buddies with you that have the same drive, and it's really cool to have close buddies with you that both of you want to do the progression, both of you want to progress in that aspect, because then it's more of a pushing each other at that point.
Yeah.
It's where one person, it's not so much like a rivalry, but it's like I know he's gonna do it, I have to do it.
yeah.
I know he's gonna go jump, I have to launch it, or else
I don't want to be that guy.
I can't be that guy.
yeah.
If you're good buddies out there launching the jump, it's like, all right, I gotta do it.
Yeah.
Springtime this year, we went back to that same spot where I had that big jump and where I had that big crash. That's a iconic spot for a spring jump too. And we went back to that jump, and as soon as I got there and saw the jump, they built a wedge on it about 20 feet further back, and I saw it, and I just ducked my head. I was like, I don't know, guys. Like, I was still super scared about that jump, and I was like, I'm not into it. Like, I'm still not too sure about
it. Sure, yep.
And then sled started rolling, a couple buddies started hitting it, and I was like, all right, I got to do it. Yep. I just got to break past that mental block and just do it.
Yep,
absolutely. And a lot of it is mental, like being able to break that mind block and move past it, because it's not, small jumps react relatively the same way as big jumps, just more air time.
Yeah.
So I tell a lot of guys, confidence is key. Like, if you come into the jump super confident and knowing you're going to stomp it, 9 times out of 10 you'll stomp it. Whereas if you come into it like super scared and squirrely and like kind of not super, like coming into it super loose, then things go wrong.
Absolutely.
That's good. That makes sense.
It's a good perspective. And that perspective on things can be applied to almost anything in life, right?
Oh yeah.
Not just snowmobiling,
literally everything.
So, yeah,
that's what I try to tell all my buddies. It's, confidence goes a long ways with almost any aspect in life. It doesn't have to pertain just to riding. Confidence is huge.
Absolutely.
So on those big jumps, what are you riding? What do you got for a setup?
So it all depends on the season and snowpack. Generally, like this season, I'll be on a Lynx 146.
Okay.
And that, to me, the Lynx is set up and designed perfect for my style of riding. It's a very rigid sled. It's meant to be rode hard. Like, look at the Swedes. Those guys are gnarly.
And
all those sleds are stock, and those guys rally them. They might do shock upgrades, I'm not sure what they do, but those guys are gnarly, and they can throw down on those sleds all day every year and no issues with them. And once I jumped onto the Lynx last year and got some serious time on it, I knew immediately. I was like, this is the sled. This is the perfect sled for what I like to do. To me, it almost feels like a race sled, but a mountain sled. Because I love race sleds. They're super fun, super rigid, super stiff, and you can just thrash them. And so jumping onto the Lynx and having that same feeling, to where knowing that the suspension will take whatever I throw at it, it's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Heck yeah. Dude, that's that's a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stories. Jeff, what are we sitting at on time? Just want to be respectful of everybody's. 20 minutes? Okay, cool. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up this episode then. Have you, Warren, listened to any of the other previous podcasts that I've had?
I'm pretty sure I listened to most of the Knicks podcast.
Okay. All right. So at the end of every podcast, we do just a sled talk question of the episode.
Okay.
Where we ask a question to the listeners and viewers, and it can be freestyle stuff. It can be sled specific stuff. It could be gear stuff, whatever that you comes to mind that you want to ask the listeners and the viewers. Put you on the spot. It's fun.
Man, I don't know where to go with that. I haven't been asked that question before.
Yeah. What do you get asked a lot?
Pretty much basically what we went over, like, yeah, where, how I go about doing what I do. So
sure.
Yeah.
Man, you could, not that I want to help you, but you could ask, like, what's somebody else's longest airtime? You know, if you was the 4 seconds the longest that you've ever collected for airtime on video, or
yeah, I think it was just over 4 seconds. Yeah.
That could be a question. See if anybody can top that.
yeah, that's a lot of airtime.
Yeah.
I do like talking to people and seeing what their view on gear is.
Okay.
And what they view as their go-to gear. I'm a big 2B guy myself. I love the gear. It's premium, top tier gear,
yep,
extremely waterproof. I've never had a single issue with any of my 2B stuff, but I do love talking to other people and seeing like what their aspect is on gear. Like why, sure, let's say like, why do you choose climb? Why do you choose 509? Like, right, what to you makes that your go-to?
Got it.
Like, to me, I'm live and die 2B. Like, I love the gear. It's been super great gear to me. Never had an issue. And their boots, to me, are... I've always had issues with boots.
Okay. Like,
Ski-Doos and Lynx have very sharp running boards, so yeah, I always blow through the soles.
Sure.
And got a set of 2B boots. I've been running the same pair of 2B boots for last two seasons.
Nice.
I put a lot of time on sled in two seasons.
Yeah, that's important.
The soles are still holding up perfectly. So,
gotcha.
I like knowing like what people run and why they run it and what makes it worth it to them.
Perfect. Good question. Comment your answer below. Awesome. Well, both of you guys, thank you. I appreciate you guys taking the time to jump on, and glad that, you know, through the messaging back and forth, we were actually able to do a podcast in person.
Especially Hay Days.
Hell yeah, brother. So awesome. Well, cool. Thanks again, guys. And Sled Talk listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch y'all on the next episode.
Sounds good.